Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Arrowverse Crossover Crisis Podcast. I'm your host, of course, Ashley, and today we will be discussing Season 8, Episode 2 of The Flash Armageddon Part 2. Episode opens where the previous episode left off with the Flash and Despero in Star Labs, and the Flash trying to convince Despero that he's not a threat. And Despero tells the Flash that, you know, this new speed that he has, you know, it's leveling him up, it's making him faster, but it's also accelerating his mind into a madness, which I thought was kind of an interesting way to make the Flash kind of go bad, quote unquote, and want to destroy the city is, oh, Barry's just going to go, he's just going to go mad, he's going to lose his mind. So I'm not sure how I feel about that kind of motivation for this Barry in the future causing Armageddon. It's kind of okay, but then the rest of the episode shows us how Barry is, like, is slowly kind of losing his mind, and it's not just one factor, it's like a ton of factors. Like, this episode is basically Barry is having the worst day of his life ever. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through the episode. At the beginning here, we actually get a cameo of Alex Danvers, sort of on the computer monitor. And she's kind of giving them the, I guess, an alien database that they have at over on Supergirl show. And then she also kind of bookends the show coming back again on the monitor. Alex tells them about the homeworld of Despero. So it's kind of nice to see her here. I know we're going to get her not just a computer or a monitor cameo. We're going to actually get her in costume, later in the Armageddon crossover. So it's nice that they're kind of setting that up already here, which is cool. And then again, it brings us back to that theme that they had in the last episode of leveling up. Everybody's leveling up, and then, you know, could Barry leveling up, could that be a bad thing? Could that be the reason that he is going to maybe lose his mind? So it's kind of an interesting theme, and I'm not 100% sure what their message is yet about this idea of leveling up. Is it good? Is it bad? It's, you know, we don't really know. And then we get Frost, and I think this is our only main scene. She kind of asks Chester to build a weapon that could hurt or possibly even kill Despero in order to save Barry's life. And I kind of like that Frost is one of the members of Team Flash that's willing to go there. You know, there's a lot of, oh, we don't kill, we don't want to hurt people, we just want to lock them up in Ironhide. You know, but there have been past threats on the show where, you know, some people are maybe, I mean, I know we don't want to say people are too far gone and we can't save them, but I find it kind of annoying a lot of times in some of these shows, especially the Flash and Supergirl, of, you know, they have this hard rule, we don't kill ever, no matter what the circumstances is. Even if this person's going to kill hundreds of other people, we still can't kill them. And I kind of don't really like that. So I kind of like that Frost is willing to kind of make that hard call and go there, because, of course, she has killed in the past. She was a villain. And so it makes sense for her to do that. And then later on in the episode, we actually get a scene with Allegra and Chester that goes more into this idea of him building a weapon. And we find out that Allegra and Chuck, as she calls him, they've been playing Dungeons & Dragons, which I thought was interesting. She says they've been spending a lot of time together. And then she clarifies that by saying, playing Dungeons & Dragons, which made me think, are they, like, maybe dating? Are they just friends? They're kind of playing around with that idea a little bit. But Chester kind of goes into the spec story of why he's a pacifist. And when he was a kid, he accidentally burned down his best friend's house. And that's why he doesn't want to do anything that can cause harm. And it's actually a really good backstory and character development for Chester, because it's kind of solidifying him as, you know, he's not just a replacement for Cisco. He's not just, you know, the big brains that can invent things. He is his own character. He is different from Cisco in a lot of ways. And this is sort of one way to differentiate. Cisco did create some weapons, you know, offensive, defensive, but Chester has a hard line of he's a pacifist, he's not going to create weapons that are going to hurt people, he wants to protect people. And I really like that. So that was a good moment towards the end between Allegra and Chester. And then we get some scenes with Iris, and she mentions to Barry that Cecile and Jenna are having a hard time. And then also, you know, in the last two episodes, we had a lot of Kramer, and there's this CCPD officer, they named her, but I forget the name, who's kind of been stepping in at the crime scenes, and they've been, you know, stepping in where Joe would normally step in to talk to Barry. And so it's revealed at the end of the episode, but early on you're kind of making this question of, you know, is Joe dead or what happened to Joe, you know? And it was, you know, some kind of a question that was asked last week when we didn't see Joe, and Cecile was, you know, kind of all in on Team Flash, which I had a question about. And again, in this episode, Iris mentions Cecile is having a hard time. She's going to help Cecile out. And Kramer says, you know, if Joe was here, what would he do? And so they're kind of tiptoeing around what they reveal at the end that, yeah, in this timeline, Joe is dead. And of course, this is something that Barry doesn't seem to remember. And which, you know, and it's kind of hinted at even in the beginning before he starts to lose his mind that, you know, Cecile mentions something, oh, we're having a hard time. And Barry's kind of like looking at her like, well, what are you talking about? It's kind of, maybe he doesn't remember Joe, or maybe, and which brings up the question is, well, has Barry been living, his mind's been living in a different timeline than everybody else? Because they all seem to know that Joe has died 6 months ago, but Barry seems to be under the impression that he's alive. So is there some sort of time travel manipulation thing involved? Maybe we'll get that in the end. Or at the end of Armageddon or something, we'll find out how Joe died and why Barry doesn't remember. But it's kind of a big question going in at the beginning of this episode is, what happened to Joe? Where's Joe? Why is he not here? Why is everybody talking as if he's not here? It's because they reveal that he died 6 months ago. And so we don't know. So is Kramer going to replace Joe? And it's kind of sad because he's been such a big character. Why would they just kill him off screen? I think the actor, Jesse L. Martin, had a back injury a few seasons ago, and they've kind of slowly been not focusing on his character. Maybe he wanted to be written out of the show, but why wouldn't we get a proper send-off for Joe? I think we deserve that. So we've been getting a lot of Captain Kramer, and she comes in to the crime scene and tells Barry that he's suspended from work pending federal investigation, and she specifically mentions that they suspect that Barry was a spy in CCPD for Joseph Carver, aka the Black Leader of Black Hole, also the husband of Mirror Master. And she says that was 2 years ago. And it kind of just made me, when she said that, it kind of made me go like, what? What do you mean 2 years ago? Like, what is the timeline in these shows? Because season 6, that only ended like a year ago. And season 7 picked up right where season 6 left off. And I know COVID and coronavirus and everything, but I guess this does take place 6 months at least since season 7, but it kind of just threw my timeline off of, wow, that was a whole 2 years ago already inside the show. Like, does not feel like it at all. Then they also call out another mention of 4 years ago was the meta fallout, and my guess is that was the ending of season 4 when the Thinker had his satellite thing explode. And I think that created new metahumans embedded with, like, weapons and stuff, which led to Cicada. And again, that was, I guess that's crazy that's 4 years ago already. So the timeline sometimes in these shows doesn't always kind of match up. So anyway, moving on. Also, I wanted to point out that I do like Iris's new hairstyle this season. It's got a little bit of red in there. She kind of reminded me of the new Batwoman, you know, a little bit of that kind of reddish hair color, which is nice. And also, I like the new Flash suit they have. I really did not like the suit that they had for season 5 of The Flash. That was probably the worst suit that they've had on the show. It was not good. And I never really noticed any changes from that season 5 suit until this suit in season 8. I really like the gold piping that they have on the suit, and it seems to have a little bit more kind of padding up in the chest area. You know, Grant Gustin was always kind of a lanky guy with not too much muscle definition, and so some of those earlier costumes had a little bit of, you know, shape to them. But then that season 5 costume was just so unflattering. It was basically just spandex. So I like the suit that they have now. It definitely feels more like an upgrade. And then, of course, you know, we know that he's actually going to be getting an upgrade to the suit with the gold boots coming up soon. So looking forward to that. But I really do like this Flash suit. I think it's probably my second favorite suit. My favorite suit is still the Season 2, Season 3 suit. And I really like the Season 4 suit. I didn't like it at the time, but it's grown on me now. And then, yeah, this suit I think is really, I like it a lot. So back to Barry. They figure out that the guard at the bank robbery was mind-controlled by a meta called Zotar. And before he can get them, Star Labs, to search for the Zotar, the FBI or something comes into Star Labs and takes over, claiming, you know, there's radiation and they're going to have to shut Star Labs down and they might have to destroy it. And so Barry had to, you know, kind of tell Gideon to put up some holograms and so that the government doesn't find that Star Labs has been the headquarters of the Flash. And in the process, he has to have Gideon destroyed, which is kind of a sad moment because Gideon's been with the Flash show since the first season, since the beginning. Now, of course, there is a version of Gideon over on the Legends team in the Rave Rider, so it's a possibility they can always get another version of Gideon back in there, but it's kind of sad to lose Gideon. And, you know, so many times we've seen that, you know, Flash in Crisis magazine newspaper in that room. And it's a little sad, but, yeah, he had to destroy Gideon, and it's maybe gonna lose Star Labs. But then also Despero has just been, like, standing and chilling in Star Labs this whole time, kind of projecting his mind. Why? Why is he still in Star Labs? Hasn't he moved somewhere else? He's just waiting for them to catch him? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, I guess. You know, they need a place for Despero to be, so might as well just stay in Star Labs, I guess. But then, of course, Barry does find the villain Zotar, and she puts the mind whammy on him, and he apparently goes crazy and ruins his apartment, and Team Flash has to kind of put up defenses against him, and Barry doesn't remember what happened, which is kind of what, you know, this whole episode's about, is Barry's going to lose his mind and become a threat to people, and we kind of see that a little bit. But it also brings up the question of, if Barry thinks Zotar is the reason he could lose his mind, then why is he the one that goes to arrest her? Like, why not send Frost and Allegra, who are also metahumans with powers that are perfectly capable of defending themselves against, you know, I mean, no better than Barry. I mean, none of them have, you know, mind control blocking abilities. I mean, you could maybe send Cecile. She might be able to do something. But if Barry knows that there's a chance this lady's going to, you know, cause him to lose his mind, why? Why does he go? And then he goes back again. So it's like, sometimes Barry's not always the smartest. So, but then he does go back again. He catches her again, and she's not just a telepath. She's a telekinetic, and she floats Barry in the air. And then we get kind of a cool scene. Barry levels up in a real big way by generating lightning without moving, just by vibrating his molecules. He can generate lightning, and he kind of unleashes this big lightning explosion, which actually was kind of cool looking. But I think it caused maybe some damage, and also I think he went back into that kind of mental state of losing his mind, and he ended up destroying some property and hurting a camera woman, and it's caught on camera, it's all over the news. And so it's kind of a big problem that, you know, Barry is slowly losing his mind, not remembering things properly, and becoming kind of, you know, a harm to the people around him. And then we actually get a reveal of Despero's motivations. Barry asks, you know, well, why do you care about Earth? Why, you know, what's in it for you? And Despero tells him. So Despero apparently comes from the planet Kalinar. And on his planet, he led a rebellion to take over, to rebel against, you know, the oppressors on his planet. And, you know, instead of killing the oppressor, he showed him mercy and let him live. But in doing so, that oppressor then committed worse atrocities and led to the destruction of Despero's planet. So he blames himself by letting that guy live. His planet was destroyed, and so he doesn't want to make the same mistake twice. He sees the Flash is going to destroy Earth. He can't take that risk a second time. He has to take out the Flash. And it kind of gives you a little bit of motivation for Despero. We do find out, you know, more about Despero in this episode. We've not heard of the planet Kalinar, as far as I know, on the shows. So it's interesting. And the CGI work on his troll form, I think they only show him once in his troll form, which is probably for the best because they can't really do it well. I think it was actually worse in this episode. It wasn't that bad as in the last episode as I thought it was, because it's a little worse here in just like the 5 seconds they show him. But I still think Tony Curran is doing a great job as Despero. He's got such a great voice for the character, and he just really has that menacing villain. I don't really like his costume, though. His, like, little brown cape just reminds me of, like, an ice cream waffle cone, and that's all I can see. So I don't really like his costume too much, but I think the actor is doing a great job as Despero. And then, of course, the ending, we get the big reveal that Joe is dead. He's been dead for 6 months. That's why Iris and Cecile and Kramer have all been kind of acting weird around Barry. And again, Barry hasn't realized this. And it almost makes me think of, you know, kind of the news of Joe's death at the end here might have just cracked Barry's mind. That maybe that's the sort of tipping point of, you know, Barry's had this terrible worst day ever. His mind's already been messed with a couple times. He's already descending. And then the news of Joe's death kind of really hits him. And he just kind of is like complete shock, and he runs off. Luckily, Allegra and Chester come in at the last minute with a protection device to block Despero's powers, so Flash is able to escape. And then we get again another video cameo of Alex, and she tells them that what they found about Despero and his home planet of Kalinar, and Despero uses the power of his planet they call the Flame of Pytar. And apparently the Flame of Pytar is an energy source from the planet's sentient heart, which sounds really crazy. And apparently it was just a sort of a legend that was flown around the DEO, but nobody could ever confirm it until now, is what Alex tells them. So, again, hopefully we get Alex in costume in the show soon. But until then, we have Barry meeting up with Black Lightning at the Hall of Justice. And Barry gets there, and there's like a burning little flame in the arrow shape. And my question is, what happened? I mean, we never see Barry or any of the superheroes use this Hall of Justice. So, what is it in the meantime? Like, is it just empty? Nobody's using it, and a little arrow shaped flame is lit all the time? I mean, obviously, It's in real life, it's just a hangar that they convert into the Hall of Justice. But I want to see them use it more. Like, what's the point of having it if we're not going to use it more? Mainly, it's just a tease. But Black Lightning shows up. I don't know how or who called him, because they did mention lightning earlier. Barry said, I got to generate lightning. I was like, oh, they're going to bring a Black Lightning. But then it wasn't until the end. So maybe that's when he calls them, or maybe, I don't know. But so Black Lightning shows up at the Hall of Justice right at the end of the episode, and Barry says he needs his help. So I think next episode we're definitely going to get an episode with Black Lightning. So I was kind of surprised that in this episode we didn't get a main crossover character throughout the whole episode. We got some cameos, but it was mainly just focused on Barry and his descent into madness and what would cause Barry to be destructive and cause harm to the world. And so it was kind of an interesting look at that. I like this episode maybe not as much as the first episode, which I really liked. But I did like this episode a lot. I thought Zotar was a better kind of side villain than the Royal Flush Gang, who I absolutely hated. At least she didn't have a ton of psychic puns or anything. She was just kind of like, I just want to use my powers to steal. I'm just a simple villain, which I kind of like. So I like this episode a lot. I do think it's a bit weird that we get this reveal that Joe is dead, and we don't know what's going on with that. So hopefully they'll explain some more about that. I'm real excited to get Black Lightning in next episode. I don't really watch the Black Lightning show, to be honest. I've seen some episodes, but I really loved him in last year's, well, a couple years ago, the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover. You know, I just think he's a good sort of, he's an older superhero character. He has the experience. He can kind of provide some mentorship and some wisdom. And he just kind of brings in a different dynamic to a lot of these heroes that are very young. you know, it's kind of nice having an older character that's a bit more experienced to kind of come in. And I think he works really good with Grant Gustin's Barry Allen. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in the next episode. And hopefully we'll get Alex. And then I know Mia Queen shows up, I think, in the fifth episode. So can't wait to see more of crossover characters. This was mainly just a contained Flash episode with a few cameos. But it's still a really good episode. Can't wait to see what they do with the rest of the Armageddon. We still got three more episodes left. So thank you for listening. Be sure to check out next week's podcast. And until then, I will catch you all in the next crisis. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you want to talk more DC or Marvel television shows, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Crashly87. That's CRASHLIE87. For all you book lovers out there, be sure to check out my blog, Fantastic Literature Reviews, all about book reviews and short story reviews, link in the description below. And if you like the podcast, be sure to leave a comment and share it with your friends.